Yes, hello everyone. How's it going? What's the crack? My name is Michael and welcome back to another episode of the McLav podcast. A pretty impromptu, a pretty random one. I've no idea how long this is going to last, what I'm even going to talk about. I'm currently sitting in the car park of a place that I'm not going to say just because. Waiting on someone, and I thought I might as well just get the phone out and record a quick episode, just talk a bit of nonsense. It's Monday morning, and the weather's class. It's freezing, mind you, but it's a good day. God, my. Bless me. It's a class day, not a cloud in the sky. This isn't a weather report, by the way. This is just me rambling on. Last night were two of the best NFL games I've ever watched. The Rams versus the Bucks, down to the wire. And then you physically can't get any more down to the wire than the Bills versus the Chiefs. I mean, the games went on until about 3:30, 4 in the morning. And it was the most entertaining spectacle of American football that I've watched in a long, long time. I will, by my own admission, say that I haven't watched a lot of American football recently. Just sort of, didn't lose interest, just couldn't be bothered with it. And then watching those two games yesterday, I am immediately hooked back in. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are just two superhumans, just two unbelievable machines that just keep going. And it was just, it was like a basketball game end-to-end, entertaining stuff. Man United beat West Ham on Saturday. That was great. In a goal that if it was given against United, I'd probably be raging. But, you know, they're saying the benefit goes to the attacker and all this year. So Cavani was deemed to be onside, which I'm delighted about. Rashford knocks it in from about a yard out. And United beat West Ham and move back up into that fourth spot. I didn't even see much of the rest of the game, to be honest. I just, when the highlights come out, I just watched the 3 minutes, because it was a 3 o'clock kickoff, so you couldn't even watch it. Went back and watched the Premier League 3 minute recap, and that's all you need to see, to be honest. I listened to it on the radio at the time, and there didn't seem to be much chances either way. Liverpool were given a penalty for nothing, and I mean literally nothing. That penalty that was given to Jota was just crazy. I can't fathom it at all, how that's been given. But we move. I know every team gets their decisions, but that one, even from VAR, is just, I think they said they looked at it something like 17 times. How do you need to look at something more than maybe 3 times and decide if it's a penalty or not? You know, the technology was brought in to shorten these decisions, but in actual fact, you know, it's making them longer. They talk about clear and obvious. I mean, that was clearly and obviously not a penalty. And I know that's not what that means, but like, it needs to be, if there's a clear and obvious mistake by the official at the time, is when VAR gets involved. But to justify giving that as a penalty is just ridiculous. But nevertheless, what else happened? Weekend was full of sport, to be honest with you. I mean, Saturday night there was NFL on as well. There was UFC on Saturday night. Ngannou versus Gane, maybe. I'm not that into the UFC, to be brutally honest with you. Just whenever there's someone with a big name fighting, I'll pay some sort of attention. But Ngannou won on points, if that's of interest to anybody. It's good to bet on, I know that much. You get a bit of crack betting on rounds and, you know, method of victory and stuff like that. So you can definitely, you can enjoy it and get crack out of it, like, even if you're not a big fan of it, or not, you know, you don't follow it religiously. I mean, there was a time there when it was literally McGregor was fighting every so often, you know, but I'm talking about maybe 6 years ago now. And holy God, 6 years. Now that's scary, that's 6 years ago. But yeah, you know what I mean. Like, when McGregor was fighting sort of regularly, and everyone, you know, was like, oh, big UFC fan, who do you like? Oh, I like McGregor. Anybody else? Nah, I couldn't name you anybody else. Apart from McGregor's maybe, you know, last three opponents. It's all about the bandwagon. Boys love the bandwagon. I'm guilty of it too. Like, I've bandwagoned many's a thing. Off the top of my head, the UFC is definitely one of them. The boxing happens as well. You know, I've no interest in boxing whatsoever. I just don't care. But then there's a big fight on and everybody's watching it, so you're like, well, I've nothing else to do, so let's get together and watch the boxing. Going back over to Derby next week, moving back to England for the second semester of uni. That should be fun, and I'm finally going to go back over and get my hands on my Rodecaster again. I somewhat regret not bringing it home for Christmas, but it was just logistically not possible, given its size and the limited bag space I had for travelling home. I just couldn't do it, so I'm looking forward to getting back over. I'm going to line up a few podcasts, you know, with fellas I live with and stuff, or live in the same place as, and just talk to them, talk, you know, about their life, maybe, how they come to go into university in Derby. I mean, there's one fella who I'm friends with over there is from Fiji, which is quite literally the other side of the planet. Like, I cannot express how far away that is. And he's in Derby, of all places. And yes, it is Derby for those, you know, people always ask me, is it Derby or Derby? I said Derby over there once and got mocked as if I had an American accent. For close to a week, people just kept going, Derby, Derby. Oh, you go to Derby? Nah, apparently it's Derby, so I don't know how, because it's D-E-R, but sure. Not open that can of worms. Fiji Taka. That's his name's Taka, so I'll see if he'll be interested in coming on. And then just the other lads, I mean, the range of accents and the range of different locations where people are from is just second to none. You know, you literally meet people from all over, and you know, the vast majority are English. There's a couple of people from Scotland and stuff, and then there's a lad from Mayo, so there's good representation all around. And then of course, as soon as I go to speak, it's just the accent just gets mocked into oblivion. It's just like herna 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 herna, you know. And then I have to sometimes start putting on what can only be described as the uni voice. And I feel like it sometimes comes out in the podcast, maybe if I'm interviewing someone or if I'm talking to some people, but it wouldn't maybe sound like I'm just trying to overpronounce my words. So sometimes maybe, you know, like I would talk just a little bit more proper, and like that's actually more of a Northern. I'm not trying to do a Northern accent. I'm being like, you know, when I'd be at home and I would be out with my friends and stuff, you know, we would go to town or get the train to Belfast, and that's just the way you end up talking, because people are looking at, if you just say, I mean, the body's heading down to Belfast, people look at you like, what are you saying? So despite the fact that we're both speaking English, I mean, last year, whenever I was living with a fella from America, and someone from, two other people from England, and it was literally the first or second day, and we were in the kitchen talking to each other, and I was just talking like this, just chatting away, whatever, and said something, asked the American fella a full-blown question, and he literally had to stop and look at the English boy and just go, yo, what did he say? Because apparently he couldn't understand me. So there's that. There's English language barriers between English language speakers, which is hilarious at the end of the day. But back over next week, and back home maybe around Easter time or so. But in the meantime, you know, there's a trip to Edinburgh coming. It's going to be a drinking session. There is the week of Paddy's Day, which will have Paddy's Day, Cheltenham, and the start of the new Formula One season, which is going to be bloody incredible. up until then, we'll have the reveals of all the new cars. And it's great because so many people are into Formula One now. I'm a newbie as well, as I've said many times on the podcast. But the first couple of seasons, there was no one really interested. And now going into next season, so many boys are excited for it. As in just as that last lap may have been, it has definitely set the precedent for next season. People are excited and people want to see Lewis versus Max, Lewis Hamilton yet to say if he's going to come back or not, but I think he will. It's teeing up to be a good one. Trying to think what else. Well, we're trying to get another Fab Foursome episode in before we go back, which will be out. Should be out this weekend. For those that don't know what that is, that's myself, the boys from the SL podcast, Adam and Sean, and Talking Smitty, Nathan Smith, all got together and recorded an episode. It's probably about nearly three weeks ago now. But just with the way the lads wanted to schedule it and stuff, and I'm happy enough to do it as well, it's timing up with their year anniversary. I believe the SL boys, I think it'll be their 1 year episode. So that's recorded. It's 3 hours long. So if you've absolutely nothing to do and you want to hear four boys talk muck, slag each other to death and eat super hot sauce, you can listen out for that. It should be out this weekend. But as always, I'll share it on the socials and whatever else I do. Which you can find at the McLav podcast. As I'm back on Instagram, I've re-downloaded Twitter. But I'm just not using it. I can't express. I've been off Twitter since November, since the middle of the end of November. And I re-downloaded it recently because I had to send a message to someone. And I can't express how cross it makes me just opening the app. I hate it. I was addicted to Twitter. I was never off it. I was tweeting everything. I was trying to be first. I was oversharing, you know what I mean? I know I do that a lot on the podcast, but get over it. But Twitter just had a grip of me, and then one day it just made me so cross one day, and I realized before I'd felt like that loads when using it, but then when I realized, it's like, hang on, this app is making me miserable, completely miserable. So I deleted it. And at the time, I was like, I don't know whether I'm going to delete it for a week or a month. And I deleted Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just before Christmas, I re-downloaded Instagram and Facebook. And I'm not really, I wouldn't say flat out on them, or I'm not always on them, or, anything like that. But I'm using them again, it's good to be back on them. But since re-downloading it, has just been the most poison thing. So it'll not be staying long if I get a reply from the person I've messaged, because it's actually to try set up a podcast interview. A Formula One journalist I had agreed to come on before Christmas, that in the off season, which is now, he will come on. So I sent him a message, but I'm not too hopeful of a reply this time round. But it would be nice to try and sort something out. Chris Medland, the Formula One journalist. If I don't get a reply from him shortly, Twitter's going. I could genuinely go the rest of my life without having Twitter. It's just as much as this podcast may fall under the same blanket, nobody cares about your opinion. And I know you shouldn't care if people care or not, because I clearly don't. I've been talking absolute muck on this podcast now for this must be 36 or 37 episodes, and I don't care what people think. I enjoy doing it, and it's a lot of fun. But Twitter was different. I wanted people to care. I wanted people to almost respect my opinion and come to me if they had queries, or if they thought McLav has good knowledge on this area. And I was trying to act outside my station, so to speak. It made me that cross. And then having deleted it, I sort of caught myself on a wee bit. I was like, what the hell was I at? That's like acting the big lad on Twitter's and not like what am I doing it for? At the start I was sort of getting a wee bit of gain from it, you know, like I was getting a lot of followers and stuff from it, and a lot of opportunities that I'm thankful for in terms of like being able to write articles. The whole trip to London in October had a lot to do with connections I made on Twitter, you know, so I'm very, very grateful for that, very grateful. But I had to stop because mentally it was just taxing. I was taking up too much of my time, and yeah, the detox from social media was great. You don't realize, I suppose you do realize, but you don't think about it how often you actually open and close the apps. Because see, when the apps, the wee tile, the wee square on your phone isn't there, and you go to tap it and you're like, oh shit, I deleted that. And for the first 3 to 4 days, maybe up to the first week, I was just constantly scrolling, you know, maybe closing Google and then going to press Instagram or going to press Twitter and be like, oh yeah, I don't have the app anymore. And I was curious, you know what I mean? I kept going, well, I wonder what's going on, or I wonder what they have said, or like, you know, maybe a sporting event happened. Like the Formula One finale, I was off Twitter for, and I cannot express how thankful I am that I was, because it would have just been an absolute cesspit of angry people giving off, like, I don't want to sound all hippie like, but you know, people just giving off negative vibes, arguments, people like me that at one point would have been like an armchair expert, been like, well, I clearly, you know, I've watched Formula One all season, therefore I'm entitled to give a quote unquote, you know, air quotes, expert opinion. Not true. Like, so I was just, I watched it. That's what it was, right? I was watching it, or I was on Twitter, you know, thinking I had to have a certain opinion, or thinking I needed to say certain things at certain times, or needed to tweet certain things so that it agreed with what other people said, or needed to have a certain stance, or always find myself reading other people's tweets, and then that shaped my way of thinking. Whereas I was able to watch Formula One and other events and stuff over Christmas without, like, I just made my own opinion on it. I watched it, I saw what was happening on the screen, and made my own judgment. Whereas beforehand, I would have been watching it, half looking at my phone, so I'm going, oh, I don't agree with that decision. I'm like, you know what? I actually don't agree with that decision. I actually think that's a pretty poor decision. And then would have went on another armchair expert rant of why I don't agree with that decision. And then maybe lying in bed that night going, hang on, I do agree with that. That was pretty blatant. I just find my time and my opinion being warped by others, and didn't like it, to tell you the truth. I need to take a drink of water because I went on a wee bit of a rant there. Yeah, so if you're thinking about it, if you've ever thought, oh, I'd love to do that, you know, it's still January, it's still time to kick those New Year's resolutions into gear. I challenge you to delete whatever. In the interest of fairness, I kept Snapchat and I kept WhatsApp for messaging people. You know, and I know they classify as social media, so I didn't delete them all. But Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, the ones where you scroll, I delete all the scrollers. I challenge you to delete the scrollers for a week. You know, take some time to yourself. Now, did I do anything massively more productive when I didn't have social media? Maybe not really. You know, I didn't start reading books or going for runs or anything like that. But was I not glued to my phone every waking minute? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I spent less time on my phone and was able to just think on my own 2 feet, if that makes sense, rather than desperately relying on validation from others is what my experience was on Twitter. And that's exactly how I would put it. Desperately relying on validation from others. And I'm so glad that I was able to, realize that. And I know that I sound like I'm sitting on some sort of high horse, some sort of ultra moral compass that I'm suddenly better than everybody because I deleted social media. Absolutely not. Social media has serious benefits for a lot of people. And, you know, people make careers out of it. And it just wasn't... over the past while, it just hasn't been for me. So I've decided against it. And I just thought I'd share that feeling or that experience. So if you don't want to, don't do it. I do challenge some people that might find themselves addicted to it to do it. However, I am of no authority or in no position to tell you what to do. And I think based on how angry I've got just even talking about Twitter and all that stuff over the past while, or over the course of this episode, which is now breaching the 21-minute mark, I will I'll maybe call this a day, before I work a temper up unnecessarily. So yeah, quick random QRcast rant, so to speak, just because I was bored sitting in the QR. And yeah, thanks so much for listening. As I say, throw me a follow on the Instagram page, which sounds stupidly ironic now, having just said all that stuff about social media. But if you want to keep up to date with the podcast, that's where I post most stuff about it, at the McLove Podcast on Instagram. And yeah, thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you all in the next episode. Good luck.